book of Psalms this morning. If you want to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 107, Psalms 107 in your Bibles. An easy way to find that is to find Psalms 106 and then go one more chapter. I wanted to help you with that this morning. You seem a little weary, but Psalms 107, and we are continuing this morning in our series on mercy, and we are grateful for God's mercy. And by now, we have a pretty good understanding of a simple definition of mercy. It's not getting what we deserve. And by God's grace and by His mercy, we don't get what we deserve. And let's just be honest. Even though we are thankful we are saved by the grace of God, we are thankful that we were unworthy but made worthy. It's by the mercy of God that we are offered forgiveness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been looking at several different aspects of mercy, and we'll look at one more today. I think is very vital in the life of every individual, every Christian. Psalms chapter 107, and I'm going to read the first seven verses this morning, so you follow along with me as we read Psalms 107, beginning with verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, and they might go to a city of habitation. This chapter begins with an admonition to give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And we're reminded His mercy endureth forever. If you want a few more thoughts on His mercy endureth forever, I would refer you to last Sunday morning's message on mercy. But then we see in verse number 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This morning, I want to use this passage of Scripture to preach a message with this title, Mercy in Your Story. Mercy in Your Story. Another way to look at this is we want to see how the mercy of God rewrites the story of a life. Mercy in your story. Father, I pray that You would use the Scripture today, use these eternal truths to help us, to challenge us, to encourage us. And Father, I pray again for the souls of men who may not be saved today. May Christ be exalted. May they turn to His saving sacrifice. Father, I pray that You would bless the service, help Your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a good admonition to begin with, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And we're reminded of the goodness of God. And one of the good things about God is His mercy and the fact that it endures forever. As we think of this passage and the admonition of verse 2, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, we're reminded that every person in this room and every person listening by radio this morning, watching by live stream, every person has a story. Some stories are filled with joy. Other stories contain much heartbreak. Some chapters of each story are easy to tell. Other chapters of the story are even painful to remember. See, there are moments in life we gladly speak about, and there are moments in life we wish had never happened. The chapters of our story, your story, my story, there are chapters marked by victory. But friend, there's also chapters marked by failure, chapters of grief, chapters of struggle, chapters of confusion, and even chapters of regret. And if we're not careful, we begin defining ourselves by the wrong part of the story. See, some people define themselves by their worst mistake. Others define themselves by what someone else did to them. Others become trapped in a chapter of shame, or perhaps a single chapter of grief, a chapter of bitterness, a chapter of failure. But see, we as God's children, we have something greater than those painful chapters, and that is mercy. This morning, I am not denying the chapters that I spoke of. And in some lives, if we're honest, we would say many chapters are chapters that I would like to just skip through, not remember, wish they weren't recorded. But friend, you and I, we must be willing to be honest and acknowledge this morning that those are chapters of our story. But if we're not careful, we will allow ourselves, as I've already mentioned, to define our entire story by a single chapter. Maybe you would argue back this morning with Pastor, it's not a single chapter. It's seemingly most chapters or many chapters. But may I remind us that mercy has a way of changing a story. Mercy does not change the story by pretending that painful things or mistakes of the past never happened. Mercy changes the story not by erasing every scar, not by pretending certain things did not take place. Mercy changes the story by refusing to let that which was broken or the failure that took place become the final chapter, the final word. See, mercy changes the story. Sometimes we will try God, or we'll try church, or we'll try Bible, and we'll say, well, why is the scar still there? Or why is the heart still broken? Or why? And we can't go back and change certain things, but I would submit to you that the Bible and God never promises that He'll change things. He just has His mercy that can change the story. Our text this morning in verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, if God has shown you mercy, then your story is no longer just about what happened to you. Your story has become a testimony of what God did in the midst of your story, in the midst of what happened to you. There's too many Christians that they have made a certain chapter. They've made their failure their story. But I want to remind you this morning that if you have received His mercy and if you were saved this morning, you certainly have received His mercy, then your mistakes in the past are not your story. The failure in your past is not your story. The unfair things of life is not your story. What others may have done is not your story, because we have the mercy of God, and what we are admonished to do is say so. Mercy does not erase certain aspects. Mercy, when God bestows His mercy, He doesn't rip chapters out of the book. But yet now those chapters have a different meaning. Without the chapter on mercy, it's just failure. Without the chapter in the story of mercy, it's just betrayal. Without the story of mercy, it's just lost in our sins. But when God writes the chapter of mercy and He rewrites the story of our life, He's not erasing a chapter. He's not changing a chapter. But now, because of His mercy, it is a testimony of grace. It's a testimony of this is what was and what God can make out of it. This is a failure that was, but yet that failure can turn into victory. See, let's be reminded, before we experienced mercy, all of us had the same story. We were broken. We were failures. We were lost in our sins. In Psalms 107, we read it, the redeemed of the Lord should say so. What are they testifying of? And the psalmist begins to write in verse number 2, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them up. They wandered in the wilderness. They found no city to dwell in. There was nobody who would take them in. They were hungry and thirsty. They did not even have their needs met. Their soul fainted in them, meaning they were ready to quit. They didn't have anything else to go on. It was to the point where it was not just the physical needs. It was emotional and spiritual. Said, I have nothing left. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. See, there were many wandering in the wilderness as described. There were some in darkness. Many were afflicted because of rebellion. Others get caught in life storms. See, the psalmist here is painting a picture, and we need to be very careful to see it. It's a picture of humanity that is apart from God. Without God, humanity is lost. Without God, humanity is just broken. Without God, humanity is needy. And let me say, that is every one of us. That's our story before we met Mercy. We are just lost. We are just broken. We are just needy. But thanks be to God of God's mercy. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, you can mark that reference if you like, but verse number 1 reminds us, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The Bible reminds us that before Mercy, we were spiritually dead. Before Mercy, we were separated from God. There's a misnomer in this world that everybody has access to God, but the Bible is very clear that the only way to have access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're unable to save yourself. If you're saved this morning, you know it's not because you saved yourself. The only way we can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is to acknowledge we cannot save ourselves. No man can save us, but only by God's mercy. We're without hope. That was our story. But aren't you thankful what we're reminded of? Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, the brokenness of man damages everything that man touches. Sin damages everything that it touches. Only thing man can do is make it worse. We live in a world today, and if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can get to a place where we minimize the need of God's mercy. We might compare ourselves to somebody else and say, well, I'm not as bad as they are. Or I didn't need as much mercy as they needed, but you still needed mercy. Friend, if you're drowning 3 feet offshore or 300 feet offshore, the result would be the same if you weren't rescued, if you weren't saved. So whether you were saved growing up in a church Sunday school or saved out of the gutter of this world, salvation comes by the same way through the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy of God. See, mercy is not given because one sinner is better than another. Mercy is given because all sinners are helpless without God. This morning, I want to remind us, and I've got 4 main truths I want to give us this morning. And some of you may be encouraged because I've been having 6, 7, and 8 truths. But I, on purpose, took several truths and put them inside 4 points this morning to think I only had 4 truths. But statement number 1 this morning is I want us to be reminded as God writes our story is the fact that mercy only enters the story in the lowest moments. Notice we see in verse number, or chapter, our text, we're reminded that when they were in trouble, verse 6, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Isn't it amazing? And we've seen already in this series that God's mercy is always evident whether we see it or not, whether we're high, whether we're low, whether we're somewhere in a valley or not. But may we be reminded that it is in those low moments that force us to cry unto God that mercy enters the story. See, if your testimony this morning, if so far in the book of your life, there's not a chapter where you have stumbled and fallen as perhaps is written in the story of somebody else. There's not a chapter of betrayal. There's not a chapter of great heartbreak or heartache. Friend, that is the story of God's mercy as well. But I'm speaking to you this morning to remind you that eventually in the story of everyone's life, there will be those chapters of failure. There will be those chapters of heartache. There will be all the chapters that we don't want to talk about. They'll be painful to remember and get through. But may I remind you that it's in those lowest moments is where mercy entering the story becomes obvious. We see that every time they cried, God responded. What is that? That's mercy. See, mercy is always with us, but let's be honest, it's in those low times it is visible. It's in those low times we're very aware of it. See, there are moments when we realize that I'm not getting myself out of this. I can't get myself through this. There's not enough, I'll just pick up myself and go on to get me to pick up myself and go on. You say, well, Pastor, can you get to that place? Well, the scripture reminds us that even their soul fainteth. They had no more way to motivate themselves. They say, well, how did they get through? Well, God gave them some mercy. There are moments when we realize we can't fix ourselves. Till you come to the place you can't put a Band-Aid on it, whether it's spiritual or otherwise, and only God can change you, only God can fix you. There are times when we realize, well, I can't carry this anymore by myself. We find examples of this in Scripture. The prodigal son came to himself in the pig pen. What was that? That was God's mercy. The thief on the cross found mercy in his dying moments. Well, Pastor, maybe it's too late. It was never too late for the thief on the cross. He had gone all the way to his dying breath and called on Jesus and found mercy. Right. And friend, if you still got breath in your body today, you can find the same mercy that thief found. Right. Peter experienced restoration after bitter failure. Might I remind you that some of the greatest turning points in life happen when we reach the end of ourselves? Those moments are not fun, and those chapters were not proud, but it's in those moments that we find that we are not self-sufficient, we are not enough, but yet there is the mercy of God that sustains us and gets us through. Might I remind you what Psalms 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Sometimes with a broken heart, we might cast a glance towards the heavens and say, where is God? But the Scripture reminds us, He's nigh unto you. And that's why His mercy is evident. You say, well, if it was evident, and we sometimes say, I wouldn't have a broken heart. No, friend, if you didn't have a broken heart, you wouldn't be aware of the mercy that is evident and is needed. Sometimes there are people, when they live their lowest moments, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, they disqualify themselves from God's mercy. Notice I did not say God disqualified them of His mercy. We sometimes think we have sunk so low that even a merciful God could not have mercy on us. Sometimes we get to a place and this is going wrong and nothing seems to be working the way that we wanted to work or needed to work. And we say, well, I guess I'm just not enough. And let's be honest, we get to those places, we know what we are. We know who we are. We know our inadequacies. We know our failures. Right. But friend, you may disqualify yourself from mercy, but God has not disqualified you from mercy. Amen. But it's in those very moments, if we'll pay closer attention, mercy will become the clearest. Maybe this morning there's somebody, and I would dare say there's more than one somebody, you're carrying a chapter in your story. There's a chapter in the story, the book of your story that you wish was not there. Maybe it's not a chapter, maybe it's a section of your story that you wish was not there. It's a season of failure in your life. It's a painful loss. Perhaps it's a struggle that you still do not fully understand. You don't even know what category to put it in. And maybe you're wondering, how could God ever use this? How could God use a failure? How could God use despair? How could God use a broken heart? How could God use a broken life? Well, friend, God is not going to use that separate of His mercy. The simple answer this morning is, yes, God still does use failures. Well, explain that to me. The only explanation I have is His mercy. Is the fact that God will use His mercy to rewrite the story does not mean He changes what has taken place. It does not mean that you never had the broken heart. You never failed. You never fell on your face spiritually. It means none of that. It just means when He adds mercy to the story, you might get some meaning of why that took place. Or if you had mercy to it, that's not the final chapter. And God can still use a failure. Let's just be honest. None of us are worthy to be used by God. But it's in His mercy He writes the story. So if we're honest this morning, the story of our life is nothing but God filling in the blanks with His mercy to make it mean something, to make it worth something, to make it have the meaning that it requires when others read that story, they understand there is mercy available. There is hope available. Mercy enters the story in our lowest moments. Number two, mercy changes the direction of the story. Most of you know I like to read. I like to read history. And there's sometimes you see a life in a biography or whatever go in a direction, something happens, and it alters the story. It changes the direction. If we're honest, we can reflect on that in our text today, where this chapter is not just merely describing trouble for the sake of describing trouble. It's not just letting you and I know all these centuries later that there are some people having a hard time. There are some people who were struggling. But it's not a psalm letting us know of trouble. It's a psalm describing deliverance from that trouble. See, without mercy, it's failure. With mercy, it's deliverance. Without mercy, we're lost. With mercy, we're found. See, again and again, it is recorded, the people cry out and God responds. Why is this? We're reminded of this phrase again in verse number 1, for His mercy endureth forever. See, mercy changes the direction of a life. The wilderness is no longer the end. If you've experienced God's mercy and you're saved on your way to heaven, it doesn't matter what wilderness you wander in this life, it's not the end. It's not the end. Your broken heart's not the end. The reminder of your failure in the past is not the end because of God's mercy. See, mercy steps in and reminds us the story's not over. If we refer back to Ephesians chapter 2, that chapter begins with, we are dead in sin. But then a few verses later, and because of time, we'll not turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2, I'd encourage you to go back and look at this. We find the verse, but God. We know what follows, who is rich in mercy. We are lost in our sins, and this is the story of our life. We are dead in our trespasses. We are spiritually dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, everything changes at that point. We are on our way to destruction, and mercy interrupts it. Mercy changes eternity. Mercy rewrites endings. See, if we're honest, there's many of you in here, if not a majority in here, there's a chapter in your life that you thought would be your destruction. This would be the end. Put the date of death on the tombstone. We know what the epitaph is going to read, but yet mercy stepped in and you're still here. You're still breathing. You're still serving. You're still trying. God's still blessing. You still have something to offer Him. You gave up a long time ago, and that's when mercy stepped in and said, oh no, we're changing the direction of the story. You were heading this way, and this was going to be the end, but God sent mercy in the form of what? The form of Himself. The form of His Spirit. The form of His Word. He sent mercy. The form of that strength. You don't know where you got it. All of a sudden, you were about at the end, and there's testimonies that many of you could share like this today, and for whatever reason, in that moment of despair and darkness, God gave clarity of mind. Clarity you hadn't had the days, the weeks, the months before. What happened there? That's God in His mercy. He changes the direction of your story. That's mercy. Let me say number three this morning. Mercy gives purpose to those painful chapters. All of us could speak of painful chapters. Those are the chapters we don't like. Those are the chapters we don't want to remember. That's the part of the story that when our mind begins revisiting the narrative of our life, we like to fast forward through. Or we want to block them out. But may I remind us that mercy can give purpose. We're talking about verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If we have experienced mercy in our life, and we have, we are admonished to say so. It is our testimony. It is how God has rewrote the story. And mercy gives purpose to those painful chapters. God does not waste failures if you will allow Him to use those failures. God is not going to waste chapters in your life that seem nothing but chapters of pain and confusion. He will not waste those if we allow His mercy to help us. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. They work together for good. Well, how could this work together for good? You don't know yet. You're not even through that chapter. And we often say, I don't see any way God can use this for good, or maybe I think He'll use it this way. And we don't know how He's going to use it for good, because He's still got to write His mercy into the story. I remind you that that verse does not tell us all things are good. Some things are painful. Some things are tragic. Some things leave scars. But no matter how painful, how tragic, how scarring, God is able to work with every chapter. God is able to use every chapter. I hope you grab a hold of this, and this is something that we all must hold to. Some of the very things you would erase from your life is when you have learned the most spiritually. Some of the things, the seasons of life that you would erase, that you would skip, that's when you learned that God was real. That's when you learned to depend on Him and not yourself. That's when you were truly humbled and adopted a spirit of humility. That's when God put compassion in your heart. That compassion didn't come easily or naturally. But He would take your story, your hurt, your heartache, and He would say, let me put some of my mercy to that. And instead of that turning into bitterness and anger and despair, it can put a love and a compassion for people that otherwise could not have it. And friend, the very things that we would erase is when we learn how to pray. when we learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Some of the very things we would erase from our story, from our childhood to our adulthood, are the very things that God, when He applied His mercy, it put us in a spirit of surrender to His will and surrender to His leading. I remind us what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. In other words, the mercy you experience becomes mercy you can give. You can't give that mercy if you've never received that mercy. Friend, this morning He can take the painful chapters and He can turn them into a ministry in your life of you ministering to somebody else. He can take your grief and give you compassion that you otherwise would not have. He can take your struggle and use it to strengthen someone else. See, mercy is not going to always erase the scars, but mercy can give those scars a purpose. It can remind of the mercy and the comfort that comes when God gives purpose. So let me give caution to you today if you're struggling because of these low chapters, because of heartache, because of betrayal, because of your own failure. And if you quit, you're closing the story before God has an opportunity to add mercy. That's why when you fail, don't stay away from church. Don't stay away from your pastor. Don't shut God out. You come to Him with your failure and you say, I have failed, and you throw yourself at His mercy. And I have a God this morning who is very adverse. He is very adept at taking His pen and adding to the story and writing a testimony of mercy and grace that somebody else can read and say, you can get back up and serve God. Somebody else can say, you can persevere with a broken heart. Somebody else can say, you can have purpose after it seems purpose was lost. He gives purpose to those painful chapters. If you've got to write a painful chapter, why in the world would we not allow God to add His mercy, to give it some purpose? The Bible reminds us, the book of Ecclesiastes is very clear in a lot of the things we say, what is God trying to do? The book of Ecclesiastes says it's life. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good and bad. That's life. And if we've got to go through life, and I'm not saying there are not times when God ordains something and God allows us to go through to try us so we might come forth as gold, and He allows all the things of life to do that, we must be willing to submit and look for His mercy and cry out to Him and say, God, I've got to have Your mercy. It's in those times that He can give purpose to those painful chapters. Can we be honest that if we're watching the life of someone else or we're reading the story of somebody's life, it's very rare that we can identify with their mountaintop moments. We can identify with their valleys. We can identify with their failures. We can identify with their betrayals. We can identify with those things. Why is that? And God can use that, and we can even read on the pages of Scripture. God on purpose records the failures. He records the faults. He records the shortcomings. He records the despair. And he wants us to see that we are just like anybody who's ever lived before us without the mercy of God. It is a sad story. Without the mercy of God, it is despair. Without the mercy of God, you don't find hope. But if we will just look to God in those times and we'll depend on His mercy, He'll give those chapters a purpose. The number four, let me conclude with the fact that mercy makes your story a testimony. I take us back to verse number two, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Mercy is meant to be talked about. Now make no mistake, we're not glorifying our past failures. I'd have no intent of glorifying the moments in my life where I lacked faith. I don't want to glorify the gloom that is found when you're on your face in despair and brokenheartedness. But make no mistake about it. When mercy is added to our story, it becomes a testimony. Friend, this morning our testimony is not, look how strong I was. Our testimony is, look how merciful God has been. See, there's power in a redeemed story, and there's only one who can redeem. Every redeemed story points back to the mercy of God. Friend, you sit here today and you're saved by the grace of God. That has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with His mercy. It has everything to do with God. And friend, don't be afraid to share your story as a testimony. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. And God will give you the strength and the help. And the day will come if you'll let God add to your story that you'll be able to look back. And this may be your story. You'll look back to a young man and say, when I was your age, I left the things of God I shouldn't have left. I went away and I got out. But thanks be to God, He was merciful to me. And He allowed me to come back to Him and look what He's added to my story. There's chapters I'm not proud of. There's chapters I were not there, but it was in those chapters that I learned what I knew the whole time, but I didn't realize that God never left me. And that's where I surrendered. And then that's where in my despair, I said, God, You had everything. Why would we want to write that out of our story? Yes, it's better to never leave the things of God. Yes, it's better to never fall on our face. But if God allows us to do that, and then His mercy comes alongside of us and gives us meaning, that becomes a testimony. There's power in that redeemed story. You know, there's people who listen to your story. They won't listen to somebody else's. Can I make this point? I'm gonna. There are people that will listen to your story before they'll listen to my sermon. And if you'll permit me to take that a step further, there are people who will listen to my story before they'll listen to my sermon. Because every life is a life of God's mercy. And God writing the addition to the chapter, it becomes a testimony. That's why if life did not happen the way you thought it would happen, whether by your own fault or by the fault of somebody else, don't quit on God. Don't throw in the towel on God. Don't get bitter and angry. Say, God, I need You. God, I'm here and I never thought I'd be here. God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'll be sustained. And God will come alongside of you and He'll give you strength that you can't even comprehend. You'll look back and say, how in the world did I get here? I didn't even think I was going to get through that day. And yet here I am and all this time forward. And you'll say, look at the mercy of God. And that'll become a testimony to His mercy. People will look at you and they won't know all the details. They won't know where all the commas are and all the periods are in your story. But they'll have a good sense of, I know that they were in despair. I know that life didn't turn out for them, but I look at the mercy of God, and that's a testimony of God in His mercy, and the redeemed of the Lord should not say, look at how good we are. Look at how far we've gotten. It's a story of we were on our face in the dust, and God's mercy came alongside of us. God used us when we didn't think we could be used. It's a testimony. People will listen to your story before they'll listen to your sermon. Might I say, as we think of mercy makes your story a testimony, before we conclude, I must also remind us that mercy is still writing your story. There are many people who think their story ended in this painful chapter of life. Well, as long as God is still working, the story is not finished. As long as you're still here, there's more to add. The book of Philippians reminds us that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. What does that mean? That means God is still writing. God's still shaping your life. God's still restoring. God's still redeeming. See, the enemy today wants you to believe that your failures define you. And by the way, the Bible is very clear. It's not God that gives us the spirit of fear. It's not God reminding you of when you messed up. And I believe, if we believe the Bible, there are times we come to talk to God about that failure, and God's, what are you talking about? I've already forgiven you. It's already under the blood. It's as far removed as the east is from the west. It's not Him reminding us of our failure. Your failures don't define you. There are many, you're convinced that the pain you feel defines you. If you're not careful, you'll let that be the end of the, not just the chapter, the end of the story. See, when a Christian goes through enough life where they fail, and by the way, we're all just a bunch of failures that God has been good to. Or they're betrayed. Or their heart is broken. Or a combination of all of that. One or two things is going to happen. People will look back on somebody they know and love and say, they never got over that. They never got through it. They got angry at God. They wanted to cast blame everywhere. Or, in those times, they'll cry out to God. And they'll say, I've got no city to dwell in. I don't feel like I belong anywhere. I've got no food. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. My soul is fainting. And God in His providence and God in His mercy sends exactly what we need and who we need in that right moment. And we cry out to God, that's not the end of the story. It becomes a testimony. If I couldn't deliver myself, I couldn't restore myself, I couldn't even provide for myself. Well, friend, tell us how you got from there to here. I can't even tell you. I can't even give you details. All I can say is you turn the page of that next chapter. It's a very short chapter. It just says, but God. Yeah. Right. And then when you turn that chapter to the next chapter, it's a little bit longer, but it's not a lot longer. It just says, His mercy endureth forever. Amen. And when I could not help myself, and when I could not get out of that despair, when I could not nourish my own soul, There's a merciful God who sits on His throne. And that same God who wrote the laws of science, and that same God that spoke every star in His place, is very aware of my condition. He's very aware of my hurt. He's very aware of the circumstances of my life that in His providence He allowed to take place. He's very aware of my failure, of where I stumbled and how I fell. He's aware of all of those things. And His mercy is there for me. And if we will receive that mercy, He'll continue to write that story. And the day will be true of all of us in our life. And we could do it all day today. We could one after another stand and say, I know exactly what you're talking about, Pastor. His mercy endureth forever. And He's still writing my story. My story would be a sad, tragic story if but for God. But now it's a story of His testimony. It's a story of His mercy. And can I just let the redeemed say so and let our life be a testimony to Him? Friend, if life did not come about like you thought it would, don't get angry. Don't get bitter. You just continue on and let God take that sad story and make it a story of victory, a story of triumph, a story that He can use. Maybe not the life you thought it would be, but He could still use it to His honor and glory. If you have stumbled and you have fallen, why don't you cry out to God in His mercy? And why don't you pick yourself up and you say, I don't have the strength to get up. It's something that we've all experienced and we've seen it time and time again. If you'll just start with the effort, God will give you just enough strength. And if you'll just say, God, if you'll help me, He'll send somebody alongside of you just to give you that little bit of a help to get on your feet. And now it's not a story of how you failed. It's not a story of how you were defeated. It's a story of God's grace and God's mercy that'll help anybody get back up and serve Him. And the day will come when the whole story is told. Oh, that's not a story of failure. That's a story of mercy. That's not a story of sorrow and tragedy. That's a story of victory. Not because of them, but because of God's mercy. There's still another chapter for God to write in your life. Maybe up to this point, your story seems pretty hopeless. It's only hopeless if there's no more chapters. It's only hopeless if we read no more of the story. See, friend, may I encourage you that if there's much of the story you wish was not there, to tap into God's mercy, allow Him to come alongside of you, allow Him to rewrite that story. He cannot change what is in there, but He can take it and give a different perspective. Yes. And friend, if you read the failure of the Apostle Peter, which comes to my mind this morning, perhaps the most egregious failure recorded in Scripture. And the moments of when Christ needed somebody to stand by Him, Peter is warming by the devil's fire. Peter denies Christ. He denies an association with Him. But yet when you turn to the book of Acts, it is Peter that preaches Pentecost Sunday. There is no vote by any ministerial association. There is no vote by the Preacher's Fellowship or the Bible College Alumni Fellowship. There's a story of a man who fell in his humanity, but then God's mercy came alongside of him. And he got up once again, and the story of Peter is not how he warmed himself at the devil's fire. The story of Peter is a man that God picked back up and God used in a great way. And I don't know many preachers, if any, can say that they preached at a time and thousands got saved in the birth of a church movement that spread across a known world, and God used him to that capacity. But I say to you, you may not be one who preaches on Pentecost. But if you'll allow your next chapter to be written, your children could have something you did not have. There's pain in your story. You can continue to live in that chapter. Or you can give it to God and say, God, here's the pen. Take your mercy. Would you write the next chapters? And may those that come after me see that it was your mercy that can take failure and tragedy and heartache and pain and betrayal and write a story that others get to live. If you'll not quit, you may say, Pastor, I'm the first person in my family to ever trust Christ. Well, friend, with God's mercy, the chapters to follow can be a story of redemption for your family. Maybe you'd say, I'm the only one in my family that wants to serve God, and they've all left, and they're all doing their own thing. But by God's mercy and by God's grace, that doesn't have to be the end of the chapter. That doesn't have to be the end of the book. See, this morning, by way of conclusion, maybe you're carrying chapters you don't understand. You're carrying chapters you wish could be erased. But hear me again this morning, the mercy of God is greater than every broken chapter in your life. And if you let God take His mercy and add it to your story, He can change the direction. He'll not erase those things that happened, but the time will come, you'll be able to look back and you'll be able to say, not with hung head, but you'll say it with acknowledgement, that was a low point in my life. But I thank God for it. Because that's where I found dependence that has written the rest of my story. I wouldn't go through that again and I wouldn't choose that again. And if I could change it, I would change it. Except for the fact that's where I fully surrendered to God. That's where God began to write a new story in my life. And now as this story is written, one day there'll be grandkids that hear the story of Grandma and Grandpa. And it won't be a story of how they never turned to God. It'll be a story of how they changed the spiritual trajectory of generations to come. There'll be a story of, oh yeah, it's the main headline now. Of a Christian who fell. But oh, that's just going to be the byword when the whole story is written. Because the story is going to be the mercy and the grace of God. And look at what God did and look at how He did it. And oh, there's a story of pain and heartache, and we don't like those chapters. But friend, your story does not have to be defined by just what happened to you or what you lost. Or where you fell. Oh, I couldn't imagine my whole story being about who hurt me or being a victim, because God's mercy is greater than all of those things. And may the redeemed of the Lord once again accept the mercy of God and testify and say, I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. I can acknowledge what happened, but I don't want to talk about what happened because I want to talk about the mercy of God. I want to talk about what God did with that story and who God helped with that story and the gospel that was given by that story. Your story today, if you're saved especially, is connected to the mercy of God. You know, mercy has a way of redeeming, changing what has been, but what humanity has ruined is mercy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. May we be a people that is not of a mindset to let me tell you how I made it. May it be, let me tell you of the mercy of God. Let me tell you what he did. Friend, I think we all need to be reminded of this today. But if you're here in your failure, why don't you come to this altar this morning and say, God, I'll give it to you. I need your mercy. It does not mean there will not be consequences. It does not mean there will not be the things that go with it. It does not mean there won't be hardship. Maybe you're brokenhearted by what's happened in life, or maybe you understand what it is to be betrayed and to be hurt by others. Those things cannot be erased. They cannot be changed. But friend, you and I can have a story, a testimony that can say, look at what God has done. But we have to call out to God. I don't see how he'll do it. Well friend, the author of the story doesn't have to tell you the story until he writes it. And how many of us, we have that pen? And if we look at the chapters we've written, it's not even a bargain bin book. It's a history of everything you don't want to do. And God says, if you'll just give me the pen, I'll give meaning to the first part of this story. I'll give purpose to the first part of this story. And don't be guilty of making a mistake and say, well, tell me how you're going to do it first. Friend, maybe we ought to look at the chapters we've written and said, not such a bestseller so far. And hand it off to the master, if you will, and let him take his pen of mercy and say, you fell there. I'm going to write a story of how I'm going to use that. And if you'll just yield it to me, I'll use it to tell a different story. Or there's a story of heartache and disappointment. And Pastor, if I'd only been taught certain things before all these decisions had made. Oh, don't despair. Just give God that pen and say, I've got some mercy. I can take that hurt and give it some meaning. Well, why don't we, you gave that to me. Why don't we turn that into compassion? You were going to make it bitterness, but I'll make it compassion that you can bestow upon others and use to help others. Oh, that this was going to be a story of destruction. You gave it to me. Let me take that story of destruction and turn it into one of victory. Friend, this morning, whatever your need, won't you come give it to God? Why don't you ask him for his mercy? Maybe this morning, in addition to those that should come this morning and say, God, I need your mercy. Maybe you're not in the valley today. Maybe you can identify exactly what I'm speaking of. Maybe you ought to come to the altar this morning and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then let your life be a life of a testimony of God's mercy. Father, help us.